When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live? It doesn't say live. Oh, we're live. Oh my God. There we go. It took a second. It is June 28th, 2024 in this year. Year's almost halfway over. Welcome to Wrestling Inc. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Flobo Boyce. And tonight, you know what that means? Was tonight the 26th SmackDown of the year? It has flown by so quickly.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
That's statistically, I guess that's how it would work. I don't know. It's crazy. SmackDown, we are a week out for Money in the Bank. How did that happen so quick?
No idea. Why is my camera crooked? No idea, man. But that's the cool thing about wrestling, man. It doesn't stop. The whole train keeps going.
It's true. The beat goes on and it never, ever stops. Tonight, we're going to talk about everything that happened on SmackDown. But before we get into that, Flobo, what's going on in the news?
Before we get into the news, this guy had a birthday. So I've been celebrating all the
Happy birthday, baby.
I'm an old man now. But it's the reason why I didn't get to hang out with you this week on NXT.
Yeah, I missed you on Tuesday.
Yeah, I miss you too, brother.
Yeah, I know. Right,
well, let's get into
NXT.
The news.
It was a good NXT.
It did, but truthfully, I had to cram it because I had to do Draped in Gold the next morning. So you've been there. The big story this week was kind of the even-keeled but really straight-edge way that Dijak announced his release from WWE, saying, hey, look, I've been knowing that my time was going to be sunsetted a couple weeks ago. I did everything right, everything I could do, but now it's time for a brand new chapter. And of course, if you follow Dijak on those social medias, he's offering half off cameos because he doesn't have to give half of his earnings to the E. Dijak, next chapter, what say you?
I mean, this is crazy what we are learning, that Dijak was supposed to go for that NXT championship, and they said, no, we're calling you up to Raw instead. And then from the get-go, they were like, well, we don't have anything for you yet. And then they were like, don't bother showing up on Mondays. And then it was like, hey, bro, we're not renewing your deal. But I did find out, and it's been reported, he wasn't under an NXT deal. He was making main roster money this entire time. And I'm not saying Dijak and Hard Justice don't deserve every penny of that, but it's a different value equation. It's not like he was making an NXT salary, got that huge bump, went up to the roster, and then got cut. He was main roster, then back in NXT after Retribution didn't work out.
Look, the Dijak situation is kind of frustrating. And shout out to Joe C, because it says it's lurking time. I think the reason with Dijak is it always felt like he never got a fair shake. You know, everyone loves the matches he did with Keith Lee, but the character wasn't quite there yet. Retribution will be known as one of the biggest flops ever during a time where we pretty much let everything run because it was a pandemic. And then he found a way to make a character work, change his name, get the edge. He got the call up on a very weak draft where we were saying nothing was really happening. The roster staying the same, but Dijak gets called up. You're thinking, oh man, they're going to put him in all these opportunities. And then it's like, whoops, they didn't even give him the year of icing off. They just said, sorry. And I think that's what it's really raising some suspicions.
No, it's crazy. And look, he did great in NXT. The Hard Justice thing, as soon as they didn't treat it as serious, and you could tell he had a sense of humor about it, I thought it worked exceptionally well. His feud with Joe Gacy was great. And I think there was a lot of potential for him. I'm kind of bummed.
Potential.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. But TNA, AEW, the Indies, Japan, the world is now Dijak's oyster.
Oh, yeah. I was in the group chat talking with my broadcast colleague, Jack Farmer, and I said, if there's ever such a thing as a Dijak Cardona best of seven, sign me up.
Yeah. I think that, man, it's unfortunate the way WWE handled this. There's not a great way to release somebody. There's not a great way to cut somebody from their job. Right. And this no contract renewal thing, well, no cooling off period, no holding period where they have to wait the 90 days at least.
But yes, you're absolutely right. But what I think about this release was to me was like cool, awesome. It could be indicative of how you do this moving forward. Was Dijak told his story in a way where it was even killed. It was honest. He said what he did. It didn't work out, but he was never bitter, nor was he pandering to WWE. It was like, look, I did what I did. They went another direction. It's a business. Thanks for the memories and catering, but I'm going to do something bigger and better. And that to me was the key point here.
And we have it on solid confirmation from multiple sources, both main roster and NXT catering on point.
Oh, really? I haven't been to NXT's catering.
Yeah. Sign me, release me. Just let me have a couple weeks in catering.
That would be a cool experience. The one day contract experience. At
yeah, I just want to see the vegan options in catering. That's really awesome. What I want.
They do have vegan options. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there you go. No, but I think here's the weird thing, and this is where it's going to get really tense. He also revealed they didn't negotiate. Hey, contract's coming up. Crickets, you know? So this new, we're not renewing your contract thing, writing it out, that's got to be tense to have, like, hey, clock's counting down, and you guys aren't even giving me an offer.
True. I do think that seems to be what happens in a lot of mainline sports, especially front offices now. I don't think there was no good PR way to do the 25 releases in one day. Like their cuts like a sports team. I think that was very much the old regime. So that's how it's done now. AEW is doing that too. Hey, look, we're just not going to renew your contract. Thanks for everything. We're going to pay you the money we promised you. So we're not taking money off your plate. It's not getting any more money later on to put on your next round of plates.
What do you think is more mentally distressing? To be cut out of nowhere or to be like, hey, my contract's up in 2 weeks and nobody's reached out to me about renewal?
As someone who's had that situation happen to them, shout out to the Ringer family and Spotify, it is way more distressing to get the call, theoretically, 8 a.m. on a Wednesday morning and saying, yeah, we're not. Thanks for this, but we're going to be done next week. Packer stuff. Digitally and go.
Well, and you know what the crazy thing is in the world of wrestling? If Dijak had been saying a month ago, yeah, contracts up soon, people would be like, oh, this is a work, this is a storyline. You know?
True. But I always give credit to Christian Cage because I remember when he left WWE the first time going to TNA and his contract was up on a Friday and like Cyber Sunday was that Sunday. He just showed up and was like, well, if I got to work it, I'll work it. And to me, I always thought then he was the consummate professional. I think that's what would have been here. You don't want to announce negotiations haven't been made until it actually happens.
Yeah. What else is going on in the news?
Well, speaking about contracts and negotiation, former BUP host Matt Camp, host of the Wrestling Matt podcast, has a bit of an insight to how his situation went down being released from the company. He's a little bit reserved in Dijak, saying, hey, look, 3 weeks before his release, he was brought in a giant group huddle saying he was part of a family and part of the next chapter of TKO Holdings, and he was unceremoniously let go. There could be some bitterness there, but we all know bitterness in wrestling almost never happens. Matt Camp out at WWE opens up about it.
Yeah. It's weird too, because I feel like WWE has had a pretty good PR run for the last couple months.
Kind of have to.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, comparatively, right? But yeah, it's just interesting. You know, even if things get better within the company, it doesn't mean it's better for everyone.
It's a hard sell because for someone who's on the outside, I've never worked for WWE, and for a lot of us, for at least a certain part time of our careers, that was either the dream or a dream or a nice to have. Matt Camp signed his contract in 2019 and ran into 24. 5 years at a media property is a lot, so I can see why people aren't as forgiving, but I got to say, it's still a job out in Connecticut that you have to uproot yourself for to go over. And so you theoretically think if you're doing a good job, you'd be there for a lot longer. I've been let go from corporate jobs and it doesn't sting any less. So also understand the frustration from Matt Camp's camp.
What else we got?
You're like, whatever.
I get it. I just feel like for Matt Camp, for Dijak, I've been there. We've been there. You will rebound. There are brighter days ahead. I just feel like it's a little repetitive of a topic. That's all.
Oh no, Alex Elpidio is living. All right, anyway, moving on. Shayna Baszler, fresh off her victory at Bloodsport against Mecha Slamovich, will be returning to the, not underground, the OG underground fighting style event. Shayna Baszler, can you believe it? Forbidden doors, unallowed windows, roll on, because she will be in a future edition of Bloodsport.
Is she going to do magic card tricks, though?
I hope so. I really do.
I really want to bring that back. But I think it's cool they're doing this stuff. And we had a lot of, we had two NXT talents show up at TNA tapings tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Izzy Dame and Charlie Dempsey. Izzy Dame challenged for Jordan Grace's championship.
Wow. That's cool.
I mean, it's nice they're doing it. Jordan Grace supposedly got six figures for her appearance and the little arc she did at NXT Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Izzy Dame got a box of Newports and Puma sweats. Anyone that gets that reference, we can hang.
Can I talk about the whole betting on yourself thing? And I think I mentioned this. Okay,
let's talk about betting on yourself.
I think I mentioned this on another podcast. They run together. I apologize. But I remember when Jordan Grace started going to the gym and changing up her workout routine. And people were just totally body shaming Jordan Grace. They're like, oh, what are you doing? You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. And everything, people were saying really some disgusting things about her physical form. But I will tell you one thing about Jordan Grace. She saw a vision about what she can do. And every time she's appeared on the WWE side, everyone's like, who is that? I want to know more about her. Now, she is a TNA talent. And I'm pretty sure some eyeballs have just said, you know what? Let me check out TNA and check out Impact. And I really feel that dedication to what you do in the ring, outside, from nutrition to ring gear to promo work to even the hairstyling to working with new talent is helping out her and her brand. I know TNA and Triple H and everyone over there probably pat themselves on the back, but really it's a talent that make you go, I got to see what's happening Friday. And she's part of that equation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the transformation, and she's always been in really good shape, but I mean, when you look at where she's at now, it's incredible. Like, and just so people understand, this isn't like, oh, I got a trainer and I'm hitting the gym 3 days a week and, you know, working on my diet, cutting those carbs. Like, what she's done is like, you know, the Marvel movie prep, but beyond like, I did this for a year for the movie. She took it to like that third phase. You know,
yep. Yeah,
very few women in the world have the physique Jordan Grace has. It's really remarkable, and I commend her for her dedication. This is years in the making,
guys, too.
Yeah, and she can beat up most of them as well.
Word,
you know, word, yes. anything else in the news?
Corrin, our producer at Wink, nope, now on a SmackDown, baby.
Nothing else happened this week.
A lot of things happened, but nothing else happened.
Nothing else happened. So say we. Okay.
So say we all.
Yes.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Jack Farmer with Wrestling Inc. And you know, plenty of pro wrestlers made their names at the Olympic Games. Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, even Ronda Rousey. I'll be watching this year's Olympics to see the pro wrestlers of tomorrow. And staying hydrated isn't just for the athletes. It's for those of us watching at home, too. That's why I pour Liquid IV into a glass of water for physical endurance, mental clarity, and overall well-being. One stick of Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients. It's easy to mix, and I love that it doesn't taste fake. Plus, 4 of the flavors are sugar-free. It's also great when I travel to a live event. A few sticks of Liquid IV in my bag guarantees I'll be at my best and that my head isn't pounding as the pyro goes off. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
So, SmackDown tonight, there was a Bloodline acknowledgement ceremony. And we had more Money in the Bank qualifiers. There weren't very many matches on this show, but they were consequential matches. Matches of consequence.
Matches. You got Jalen Brunson in MSG. What?
Yes. We had a major brawl kicking off the show with the babyface gang, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
That sounds so 1940s.
Babyface gang.
Nah, see, babyface gang.
Yeah, the babyface gang.
Yeah.
They were in the middle of the ring. They were there was face off with Bloodline. There's security there. It was a whole to do. It was a thing. What'd you think of this opening? Kind of hot. Kind of chaotic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one was definitely needed. We heard about the induction ceremony, and it could have been easily something that would open up the show and have Cody come out and do the whoa. But you're in New York. I think everyone in that crowd is pretty much on the smart side, and they are feeling a little bit of fatigue with this new bloodline. Why not upend that apple cart? Get your beats in later on if we get to the main event. But this is something that we didn't see coming. And even though nothing really happened, as this is a go-home to the go-home show, it has a little bit of unpredictability enough that when you're sitting down after a long, hard week of work, and you go, dang, that was a dope SmackDown, y'all.
Well, and we got confirmation on that six-man tag for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, but we all know it's coming.
Yeah, I know. Still, sometimes it's nice when you think, oh, this is going to happen. And then people are like, no, it's not, Glenn. You're dumb. And then it does happen. And I can go, ha. Said it was going to happen. And it happened.
Are you a I told you so kind of guy?
Not really.
Oh, you're missing out. It's so much fun.
No, I think
I said it. You didn't believe me. I told you so.
No, you know what it is? For me, as I get older, as I reach the conclusion of my 40s in these next couple
Whoa,
of years.
Whoa, we don't say your age out here.
Yeah, as I get there, it's validating to me that my instinct about where it's going, oh, yeah, I was right. Like, that's what's validating. Because I question sometimes. People are like, no, Glenn, this is what's going to happen. And I'm like, sure. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. And then what I thought was going to happen happens, and I'm like, aha, I still understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's good. This was a hot open to the show. Very chaotic, though. And this really set the stage for everything that happened with the Bloodline later. They were removed. Nick Aldis is out there. It was crazy.
Yeah. I liked it.
It was much ado, you know?
A lot of times baby faces are seen as too weak because they're going to make their heels more formidable. But it was kind of cool to have stunners happening all about. So much a throwback. Yeah.
Cody Rhodes called Solo not the tribal chief and called them all seat fillers.
I mean, he's one of the top.
Cody?
I mean, it took him 2 years to finish the story. I'm just saying. Be more patient, man.
I was thinking about this the other day. Could you imagine any criticisms people have about, oh, the Cody thing's maybe getting a little boring? If he would have won at that first Mania, oh, man, that would have...
Oh, yeah. It'd have been absolutely insufferable. Like, he came out of nowhere, had a bad peck, and now he's supposed to bow down to this guy? Pff, what a loser, you know?
It's crazy. Yes, Alicia is saying a future superstar was either a security guard or a cop tonight.
Not the way they're selling. I'm kidding.
No.
She was absolutely right.
You know what would be hilarious is if they, if MJF or someone was like, hey, WWE, you know what would be funny? Just put me in security like you did years ago and no one knew who I was. Just put me in security now.
An absolute superstar? That'd be kind of weird.
That'd be amazing. Because people are like, wait, is that MJF? Like, and
I thought he was better than me. Why does he have a second job?
No, and he should deny that it's him. Like, he should wear like a fake like mustache or something, or a monocle or something. A monocle. You know?
Guy incognito style.
But that would be amazing if you're just watching it and you're like, yo, you know? I'd pop for that.
Just a one night only security guard in the garden.
Just like, and then the other thing is you could have a wrestler on the roster. This would be good for like a Heath Slater position or someone where it's like, yo, put me in security tonight. And when people realize it's me, I'll be like, no, I'm just trying to pick up some extra shifts, make a couple extra bucks.
Was that like Hank Ledger's entire?
Yes,
Hank
right.
Walker. Sorry, Hank Walker's entire thing.
Yeah. Okay, so
can I ask a question though?
Yeah, please.
Do you think people backstage got a choice of being security or the NYPD, or it was kind of like, no, you're a cop, you're security.
It was. I bet you they had black shirts in a wider variety of sizes.
Ah, fair enough.
You know, the security uniform. I think it was based on whoever fit the security uniform got that, and the rest got the black shirt. But they were told to arrive wearing black pants or bring black pants with you.
Absolutely. You know? Always bring white black pants in the bag, the roller bag.
So Jade Cargill versus Tiffany Stratton versus Candice LeRae, triple threat qualifier for Money in the Bank. And if you bet all your money on Candice LeRae winning, you were wrong. Indy Hartwell, though, got into it with Jade Cargill, which keeps her looking strong. It's going to be weird, though, because they're setting up this Jade Indy conflict. Like,
sure.
They really tried tonight to make Indy overcome how she's been booked.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah, but I mean, Jade's obviously winning that mini.
There is very few women on the roster, on any roster, but I would go, oh, definitely they're going to beat Jade. But if I am a casual wrestling fan and Indy Hartwell comes out, I will at least buy the fact that she's like a lanky, or she has larger extremities. Yeah, like Jade.
Larger extremities. These are things you shouldn't say to women.
No, I'm not saying that like in a sexist way. I'm just saying
No. I'm saying in general. Actually, you shouldn't say
I'm not going on dates being like your extremities are quite large, man. No, I'm saying
and let me not gender it. You shouldn't say this to women or men. You shouldn't say you're lanky. You know, for someone with large extremities,
it's not a Haas match, is what I'm saying. You're gonna get me canceled. I'm saying it's not a Haas match. I'm not saying the Lucha style. I'm saying they're both very similar types. And they have they're very similar physically on a marquee way. I understand that part. But what I'm saying is I felt like, especially Candice, when she came out, that I didn't feel she believed she had a chance to win.
Yeah,
something was almost like, hey, guys, I'm out here. I'm wearing the wings. I go, I don't know, man. Like, be fired up. Help me out a bit.
But they, with the stuff with Indy, they needed to clear Jade out of the match so Tiffany could win without just stealing it.
Right.
You know? But I liked the thing with Indy taking Jade out. I thought that was great.
I think it's cool. I think it's a nice little side quest for Jade. I know there's a thing about getting back the tag team titles, but just to be honest with you, I think Isla Dawn and Alba Fire need it more. I think the Raw division has a lot more immediate challengers. And frankly, Jade needs someone that's going to, this new version of Jade, the new character of Cargill, has to show us how she can overcome. And there's not many people that can hit Jade. I go, okay, that looks like that hurts. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I hear you. Later, we'll be ranking the rosters in all of wrestling, men and women, in order of extremities in their size. It was just funny, Flobo. I didn't think you meant anything bad by it. It was just really, really funny. I thought it was
Call me into Wink on Monday. I'm like, look, man, just thanks.
This extremities thing. You know? Can't do it. I think we're okay. I really like this match. And Tiffany Stratton's going to Money in the Bank.
Interesting. I think that's really interesting. Good thing for her. I maintain, like I said last week, rookies don't win that match. But if there's anyone that's going to show out, it would be Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah. I mean, I think she could win. Don't you?
Mm-mm.
You don't think she could win Money in the Bank?
Nope.
Huh.
She could win. I'm not denying the ability. But again, my theory is that rookies don't win the Money in the Bank qualifier. Same with Carmelo. I want Carmelo to win, but I don't think rookies, quote unquote, win that match. It's usually a heel that's the next level to be promoted. It's the king of the ring for the new generation.
Okay.
So be someone who's been around.
I thought it was a little insensitive to Baron Corbin having commentary be like, it's so impossible to lose your Money in the Bank cash in.
Yeah. Got to put a little bit of that stuff in the blender, right?
It'd be funny if they had him on commentary. And I was like, so walk us through that loss.
I know that it will hurt him, but I think as a fan, having someone who's like, as I'm a sports fan, if I'm watching like, I don't know what's his name, Romo or something on the booth, and he goes, hey, look, I dropped the ball here. I didn't make it here. That helps me out to understand the importance of the throwing the bank and picking your shot. Although I do think Austin Theory is a better example of picking a secondary title and still losing. Like that to me is like the worst ever.
Yeah. No, and I thought the Baron Corbin and Apollo, I'm intrigued by this Apollo Crews Baron Corbin thing.
Apollo Crews, man. You know, huge fan, long-term fan, Yuha Nation, have all of his merch. He's never quite clicked in the way I thought he would have. If there's anyone I think that had multiple last chances, and I thought
him last looking, chances, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I thought him looking into the future in NXT was it. I was like, how do you recover from that? You can't become psychic and be a fighter. That kills any semblance of storytelling. But he's still here now. So I'm hoping that he wins. Because I thought that Nigerian accent, even though he is Nigerian, wasn't authentic. Him being a psychic was not authentic. Him being a Hurt Business punching bag was sadly too authentic. I really want him to succeed, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, backstage, Street Profits and B-Fab talking to Nick Aldis, wanting to face the Bloodline. Bold. Interrupted by Pretty Deadly, want to debut a musical.
Cool.
And it ended up in a tag team match being made official by Nick Aldis, which we'll get next week. Mm-hmm. Nice. Pretty Deadly's on TV.
Like them. Love the return. I think they are solid, if not amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
After watching Metaphor this week on NXT and having Noam Dar on a phone, can Bobby Lashley do that? Is he still around? Is he still in the Hurt business? Is he still in the Street Profits? Is he hanging with B-Fab? Is he still the leader of this group? That'd be great to know.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Guess so. Also, Lin-Manuel Miranda was there, America's sweetheart. And yeah. They couldn't convince him to be in a segment with Pretty Deadly.
I thought he'd be at the Mets game, to be honest with you. But it was a bonus that he showed up.
True. Logan Paul with Tyrese Halliburton versus Santos Escobar versus LA Knight. A triple threat Money in the Bank ladder match qualifier. And wouldn't you know it, Tyrese and Logan up to no good with those brass knuckles.
Oh, yeah. That natural heel. I don't hate Logan Paul, but I don't think I'm hated. I don't hate Logan Paul like I should. He's a good heel, but he doesn't really do it for me as someone I really want to boo. It's like, yeah, he's kind of funny. I can actually enjoy him. But him bringing out Halliburton, like fresh off the playoffs, was some next level trolling in the garden while Jalen Brunson was sitting there. Yeah. Oh, man, exquisite. It was great.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson helped LA Knight. A nice moment at the end after the face-off, but no, let's not bury the headline. LA Knight won this match after exchanging some nice back and forth trading roll-ups with Logan Paul. This is going to be cool because this allows the feud to continue between the two of them. LA Knight gets the Money in the Bank match. Logan Paul will probably cost LA Knight the Money in the Bank match, and then we get them at SummerSlam.
Yeah, shout out to Issa Ramos, man, because she hated LA Knight back in the day, but he's going to Money in the Bank. I always say your boy needed some wins. He needed to pin the USA champ. So I know she's upset, but I'm loving it. Real.
Yeah.
We love Issa. Just saying.
Absolutely. So this was a really good match. I like this a lot. I mean, in no disrespect to Santos, but man, it's like this was the taste that we wanted of Logan and LA Knight escalated.
I'm with you. I think Logan and LA Knight need to get physical a lot sooner, a lot more often. But the thing about Santos is, man, like I don't like to use the I word because when Santos was called up to the main roster, he was at the WrestleMania opening event at LA and Legado del Fantasma got a whole new roster change, but they look irrelevant. Santos looks irrelevant. And I wonder what needs to happen. Will it be a last chance for him? Will it be a whole new thing for Lucha Tradition? If he doesn't find it out soon, there is a bloated roster on the horizon. So hopefully he finds something for him.
We'll see. We will see what happens. Then we had Naomi versus Indy Hartwell versus Blair Davenport, triple threat, Money in the Bank qualifier. Backstage, Naomi and Bayley were talking. Oh my God, what's going to happen, Naomi, if you win? Well, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. Blair Davenport is being like, I'm going to win. I'm Blair Davenport. I'm going to attack you in the parking lot. I take people out of action and tear their ACLs. with precision.
It's true.
Every ACL tear, like Blair Davenport parking lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of an honor.
Yeah. That was my Blair Davenport impression.
Nah, she's
Blair Davenport.
Maybe he's gay.
Yeah. But I like what we had here with Jade coming for some payback on Indy.
Yeah, I like it. That way it becomes a grudge match and not just in the situation of like, hey, you prevented me from being a Money in the Bank thing. Jade is someone that doesn't have to be sold. I think you see a picture of Jade, you're like, I'm on board. But if you're into wrestling for the character study, you really want to see what motivates her. Is she someone that wants to be the best? Is she someone that has a moral code? Is she someone that doesn't like to be disrespected? This is how these things get solved and answered. I'm on board.
Speaking of what you were talking about this earlier, I liked in the earlier match that we had Nia Jax outside because she's with Tiffany Stratton. I like, so Naomi won the second match. She's going to Money in the Bank. That's going to be awesome. But I like, see, this is why I think Tiffany could win, because Nia's got the match against Bayley at SummerSlam. Nia wins that match. Tiffany Stratton turns on Nia, thinks they're besties, cashes in, wins the championship at SummerSlam off Nia in a surprise. So Nia still looks strong. She gets her dominance, but it's a good storytelling twist and then sets them up in a feud.
I like it. The only issue I would have is that I don't quite believe the kinship of Tiffany and Nia yet. If it was a couple months and then this happened, I go, oh yeah, that'd be cool since a betrayal. But I always feel like Nia Jax is like, you know what? You're a rookie. Whack.
I mean, Nia just wants a friend. Remember when her and Alexa?
Oh yeah. And Shayna Baszler.
I think Nia, you know, doesn't want to be a lone wolf. No Baron Corbin reference intended.
But she's not like most girls.
I miss that theme song.
I'm not like most girls.
That was a good theme song.
It was. It was very unique for her.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually writing this down, and I don't want to be negative because I know there's a whole thing about Pylon Death Rebel, but Tiffany Stratton's new theme reminds me of the LWO's and Raquel Rodriguez theme at the same time. So I thought Raquel Rodriguez was back. I was like, oh, wait, why is she pink? Oh, right. So
I'm telling you right now, WWE is going to be doing AI theme songs within the next year, if not sooner.
What does an AI theme song sound like?
You want to know what AI sounds like?
Is this a bad question?
No, I can play you some AI music. We could talk about this. I was going to share a link. I'm so proud of a song I wrote lyrics to that I had AI generate on Suno. So the record company sued Suno and Udio this week. We'll talk about this at the end of the show. Talk about some AI music, but let's get through the rest of the show first. But Flobo, you're gonna be blown away.
The future is now.
The future is now. I get why record labels are freaking out, but WWE is gonna look at this and just be like, if we can find a way to do this and copyright it, that's the problem. You can only copyright the human input,
right?
But I bet you they're gonna figure out a way to do this. Okay, so we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this. But let's talk about the acknowledgement ceremony and everything that happened building up here. So Solo's backstage talking about him, and he's like, I'm Solo Sikoa. That's my new impression for everyone.
I'm very Blair Davenport of you. Wait a minute.
Actually, Solo was best. Man. Tonight was the best Solo has been on the mic when he was talking backstage, because he wasn't doing that clipping his vocals, that like soft-spoken thing. He's talked like a normal human being tonight.
Fair.
You know? And I appreciate that. So we get this ceremony, the Bloodline acknowledgement ceremony at the end. We didn't talk about this, but they had a really, really nice and touching video package to Sika NOI, who passed away earlier this week. I thought that was very well done.
Absolutely. It's kind of sad and tragic that our heroes and our parents' heroes are passing away, but I always trust WWE to give people a bit of class with a video package.
Yeah, so. It was very nice. And talking about like this, you know, the seeds of the Bloodline and his role in it. So I thought that was really awesome. So they did this acknowledgement ceremony, and the weird thing was they go out there and it's like, Jacob Fatu not here. So it was like, no, Jacob's not here. I'm Solo Sikoa. And because Paul's like, oh, he's too dangerous and whatnot. And so they go out there and they start doing the ceremony with Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa and Solo, and it's like, you know, Jacob showing up. Like, was anybody surprised? Was anybody surprised by that tonight?
I don't want to say I'm surprised, but I really thought that was a situation where he couldn't make it to New York City, and so they were just going to be like, you know what I mean? I think it was planned to be there, but I would have totally bought him not showing up and them trying to compensate. But maybe I'm just weird like that.
Well, and they didn't do it where he showed up out of nowhere and attacked. It was like Solo's out there, and now I want to introduce my enforcer, Jacob Fatu. And it was like, okay. A little anticlimactic to the payoff.
He's got pyro. I'm excited.
Yeah, actually, his entrance was cool. But it was weird how they did it, where he's like, no, he's not here. Psych, he's here. I'm Solo Sikoa. Paul Heyman has learned that if he just doesn't shave for a day, he looks like the most disheveled person on earth.
Which is weird, because he's wearing a suit all the time.
Yeah. They should have rustled that up a little more. Like, the suit was all wrinkled. They should have had him borrow some, like, bum-ass Corbin gear.
Bum-ass? With the little mustard stains on the...
No, just looking like he hasn't been sleeping because he's so stressed about what's happening with the bloodline. Right. So it was like, Paul, acknowledge me. I'm your tribal chief. And he was like, I love you, but you are not my tribal chief. And then the baby bloodline just kicked the crap out of Paul.
And that they did.
Yeah. Which was a good way to go off the air. So look, this is the story, because now Paul goes back to Roman, brings Roman, probably not at the end of Money in the Bank, because Roman's not going to compete at SummerSlam, but probably at the end of SummerSlam.
How does he go back to Roman if Roman is technically off the grid?
No, because he's going to go find Roman.
Okay, so this is my question. Is a fighting Roman is going to be off camera and he's going to show up and be like, that's Roman? Or are you actually going to see him sit down and talk to Roman in a promo
event? It would be amazing if we see Paul walking the beach looking for Roman.
What? What is this, Hobbs and Shaw? No, what I'm saying.
Ooh, you should totally ask Jason Statham. They should ask Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel's like, you really don't keep up on things if you think I know where, anyone related to The Rock is.
That's not what I meant, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Him with his, like, his shoes off and his, like, suit pants rolled up, just walking.
Yeah. He's at WWE headquarters. Is Roman here? Like, just a bit terrible vignette. They would have absolutely done this 35 years ago.
I think they would have done this 4 years ago if they told us what the tribal chief actually did. But they never did, so we don't really want to see anything now. It feels like, what does a tribal chief do? Like, taxes? Microsoft Teams? Like, I need something.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Goodfellas asking who will be the new wise man hire.
That is definitely a thing. I mean, I was on LinkedIn. I didn't see any openings, so it could be anyone, really.
It'd be funny if they tried out different wise men.
Who's left?
No, but you know how WWE would do it. Is like, you know, they have an interview and like Teddy Long shows up, like a different wise man every week.
That is. I don't want to say a Vince thing, but to play that for comedy is something that you won't see anymore. That is very 2004. And it's like, sorry, dog. Holla, holla, holla. Like, hey, what are you doing? 2004,
they were doing crap like this like 2 years ago.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know? Ted DiBiase showed up with $1 million belt in NXT. That wasn't so long ago.
One of the best storylines in the pandemic.
Yeah, that was really good.
Hands down.
That was really good.
DiBiase.
Speaking of which, what about the Prophets referencing that you're giving fake noise like the pandemic, like the Thunderdome era tonight?
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. Fake noise in Orlando? Never.
Yeah. Okay. Good SmackDown tonight, though. So we had Paul Heyman like got jumped out of the bloodline.
Yeah, it's a good SmackDown because of the qualifying matches. It kind of felt super quick. I looked at my watch and I was like, oh, I guess it's time to get to work. But
that opening and closing ate up like 40 minutes of the show.
Absolutely. But it's not every day you see someone like Paul Heyman go through a table. And he's old school enough that you're going to see him in a neck brace next week. And so that means like you're going to see his recovery and what that means. And basically, he bought themselves some time. As far as telling the story, the Bloodline have a match at Money in the Bank because they didn't have a match at the last pay-per-view. So something has to happen. But at the same time, you really can't have a holding pattern forever. So I love this. We got a new wise man opening. We have Paul Heyman injured. We want Roman chance of happening in New York. Things are actually going, even though it seems kind of awkward, things are pretty much moving forward.
Yeah. Well, Flobo, what do you got going on this weekend?
Well, this weekend, Jack Farmer and I will be covering Forbidden Door on the AEW side over here on Wink. So make sure after the pay-per-view, check out Wrestling Incorporated for all your best reviews, notes, and with Jack Farmer and myself.
Why hasn't Tony Khan licensed Sade's The Sweetest Taboo as the theme music to the Forbidden Door?
Because that is for an elevated audience, sir. Only you and I appreciate that. Quiet Storm, Osprey, Sweetest Taboo.
Okay, we're going to do some AI music. I got to share a link to this. It's the 25th anniversary of Fight Club this year. As many of you may know, I'm just going to play a little snippet of it because there's a little swearing in it. Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit once claimed, as it was a brag, like, I watched Fight Club 28 times.
Wow.
Yeah, this was like in the year 2000. So he was like, I've seen this movie a lot. So as I'm messing with the AI music on the Suno and the Udio, I'm like, what if I wrote some lyrics in the rap rock style and had AI produce a song about watching Fight Club 28 times?
Where's Matt Coon when you need him?
Yeah, well, you know, so if you go to tinyurl.com/FightClub28, you can hear the full version of this. Let me just play a little bit of it here, just so you can hear full, because you have not heard the AI music. And no. What it's capable of producing. It's pretty nuts. Here we go.
Is that you?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. My man Brad Pitt, the song's for you. We've all gone crazy, made me want to be a rock star. Show me that smile. First time Fight Club on my screen. Mind blown, those twists like a dream. Time's life so free. Found a new reality and who I wanna be. Watching and learning. Each time it's new.
I tap. I can't. Owie, owie, owie.
Okay, it starts swearing after that.
That's just awful.
But that's, I mean, all computer, dude. That's all computer. I mean, I wrote the lyrics.
Oh, the lyrics are fine, but it's kind of like, man, it does seem like it was Limp Bizkit in a blender.
I know, it's crazy though, right? It's crazy the computers could do. So I'm saying WWE, when they get their hands on this technology, which anyone can at these sites, like, they're gonna go nuts with this. Forget Def Rebel.
Can we talk about who is Vic Payback?
Oh, my nom de plume. one of them.
It's my shoot name. Glad it's actually the gimmick.
Yeah. No, but it's crazy though, man. So this is the thing. This is gonna make the Def Rebel pile on be even more, because it's like you'll send Def Rebel and you're like, a human allegedly did this. Like, yeah, this was the best you could do, you know?
It's funny because, like, I know it's not the whole point of the show, but I don't necessarily hate Def Rebel as much as people do. I think my biggest issue was that they sound similar. And so at the Rumble, when someone comes out, you're like, wait, who's that?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's them. Which is a problem that can be easily fixed. But this is something completely different, because no one's getting the check that way. It's going to be the machine or whoever owns that machine. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And I think the record companies filed a lawsuit the other day because they're like, oh, you trained this on all our data. But I think we didn't talk about this. I talked about this with Matt Coon on Tuesday. Like, there's a great documentary on Paramount Plus, How Music Became Free. And it's all about Napster and MP3s. And it's the same thing. Like, the record industries want to protect their bottom line so much, they don't figure out a way to co-opt the technology and make money off of it. Instead, they try and shut it down because they think it's a threat to their bottom line. And the technology is going to advance and happen no matter what, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It to me, it was very telling that, because I run with an old iPod, which is, I think, the second time I met this reference this week. If that goes down, like, I don't really need a device that with physical media anymore. It would have to be like an app player for my next time I go for my jogs.
Do you have one of those modded ones that's using like flash memory and stuff, or is it like old hard drive still in the original white shell?
No, it is the old, like, you hear it power up, like, it won't die. It is TNA, is hard to kill. But what I'm saying is, after that goes, it's like, yeah, there's no more physical devices for MP3s anymore. Like, music,
you can find them. You can find them. I have a friend that mods them, like, to work on flash memory or, like, solid state drives. But they're still the same iPod. They're still the same idea, same OS.
True, but I mean like the general thing of things. We don't really we just like rent things and we lease things now. We stream things now.
I know. You know, no,
physical collections are
physical yeah. science. Yeah.
Well, it's not with physical, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
No, well, I know. It's just funny to me. I mean, I think about it. I spent 7 years in a rap rock band myself.
Excuse me?
Oh, wait, okay. We never talked about this before. Fans of the show know what's up. Like pre Limp Bizkit, like 95 to 2002.
What?
Yeah. And it's crazy because I would spend so much time on every aspect of a song. It's like, we got to go record the drums. Now we got to do the bass. Do we like the bass tone or we got to change the bass tone? We need the guitar tone correct. You know, and so what would happen was I would produce the records and rap on them. So my vocals, like I would get the least amount of time because I spent so much time working on everybody else's part that my vocals are the thing that I'm never happy with because I just got it done. You know, I went in there and got it done.
You had a rap rock new metal band this entire time? It's just now we're just casually dropping at the end of a show?
Well, it's funny. Blue Chew's mentioned Bloodhound Gang. We opened for Bloodhound Gang. We actually, Jimmy Pop from Bloodhound Gang and I did a little Twitter Spaces reunion a few months ago. Because they were very instrumental in our career early on.
What the hell's are you? What?
You think I thought you know I told you this before.
You've never told me. You've told me the Roxanne Shaitay story 10 times. You never told me this.
I mean, want to talk about the Roxanne Wars? I'll talk about the Roxanne Wars all day. I'm going to use AI. I'm going to
Payback, stop.
I'm going to use AI. I'm going to write 50 more Roxanne response songs.
Wow. I didn't know you were actually in a band that up here. That's awesome, man.
Cool. Yeah. We've discussed this. We've played music. We've done this trip down memory lane before on this podcast before. We'll do it again at some point. I'm sure.
I'm no longer the new guy here, but I'm still pretty new.
Yeah. No, Vic Payback was the name I was using when I was DJing like 15 years ago. People that get the reference that understand what that's a play on. I appreciate you. I was doing that when I was DJing and, I never really use that for anything. So I was like, oh, when I'm doing this AI music, like I'll just do it under that.
Is this like your Vinnie Vegas phase? Oh, bada boom.
Just a name. Well, because it doesn't make sense like for who I am hosting podcasts. Stuff. I've never really done something under a different persona before. So it's kind of fun.
I get it. I do esports. I have a different name for that. But again, this whole musical part, I know you are musically inclined, but I had no idea this was a whole careers you had.
It was a thing. I'll give you the guided tour at some point. We'll go through it all. But tonight, folks, SmackDown, good show. Kind of long opening and closing. Cool matches, though. Those three matches, they made those count tonight, which is great. Forbidden Door this weekend. Join Jack and Flobo. It's going to be great. And I'll be back on Tuesday before they've got Monday Night Raw. Tuesday, I'll be back for NXT. And I'm going to be off for like a week. So that'll be kind of cool. I know. Got to take some time for me. Maybe Vic Payback is going on tour.
You know what? Now I have to look for the updates online because that could totally be the cover for you.
Cool. Thanks everyone so much. Have a great weekend. Catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Thanks so much.